And good afternoon and welcome to Midday and happy 2026. I'm guest host Matt Bush, the news director here at WIPR, filling in for Tom Hall. Good afternoon. Each year, the tech world turns its eyes to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Symposium, known as CES. Robotics, artificial intelligence, automation, and automotives, innovation across a wide range of sectors has its time on the stage at CES. Our first guest today is Jason Michael Perry. He is founder and chief AI officer of Perry Labs, which helps businesses adopt AI-powered technologies. Jason joins me on Zoom live from Sin City. Hi, Jason, and good afternoon and good morning to you there.
Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So you are out there for CES. It's for consumer electronics, and that's any number of different things fall under the banner of consumer electronics. So tell us what this deals with. What are consumer electronics? A broad term that seems simple maybe to many, but it is a very specific term too.
Well, I think that's what's so amazing about the CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. And it is a massive show that draws something around 140,000 people, has 4,500 booths and exhibits. And as you just asked, consumer electronics, which is everything you could think of. These are smartphones, laptops, TVs, vehicles, robotics, smartphones and home devices, wearables, AR and VR, which is mixed reality devices, as well as drones and even boats. It's a massive amount of different things.
No, you arrived yesterday for Media Day there in Las Vegas for CES. You got a little sneak preview of things to come. What did you see?
Yes, so the CTA, which is the Consumer Tech Association that puts on CES, had a special media day, and they gave us the opportunity to take a look at some of the things, or the mega trends, as they called it, that they're expecting to see. And these trends fell under three big categories. One is intelligent transformation. It's this idea of AI literally making it into every single thing that you may have in your house. This means smarter lawnmowers, smarter vacuum cleaners, of course, robotics, but AI being embedded in every single device. And one that I was surprised to hear about is this idea of longevity in healthcare. There are a lot of healthcare tech companies that are investing in technology to track everything. And I mean, everything you do, to the point of taking a look inside of a toilet with a camera to let you know if you're, you know, doing things in a healthy way. And all of this is built on helping us to increase our lives and live healthier. And the other is this push for what they're calling emerging tomorrow. That's a combination of robotics. And I think that robotics is the thing that I'm the most excited to see here. There's so many things that are starting to emerge now with different companies that are investing in having robots that can potentially wash your dishes and empty your dishwasher and fold clothes around your house that feel like they may be getting closer.
You've attended CES before. This isn't your first time out there. What's it like to be on the conference floor with all these things that you're just talking about and a lot of people very excited to share with what they're bringing to this conference?
The conference is always amazing. I love that it happens at the beginning of the year because it gives you the opportunity to really feel the trends of what's happening in the technology space. So very exciting. There's so much to see. We typically do 20,000 plus steps a day, just walking through the different exhibits and seeing lots of different things that are happening.
And one trend we're going to see play out at CES this year is the high price of RAM, the memory space that all this technology relies on. All the smart and consumer electronics that we use relies on RAM. The price of this is going up. So one, why is the price going up? As seemingly a lot of other things are going up and affordability is becoming a thing here right now and a topic a lot of people are discussing. Why is the price of RAM going up?
Yes. So RAM has been going up because of data centers. And I feel like no matter what we talk about in 2026, data centers seems like it's the major story no matter what. So because of the increase in data center purchases, a lot of companies that develop RAM, and RAM is this memory that is in every device that you buy. It's in your consoles, like an Xbox and a PlayStation. It's in your phone. It's in your laptop. It's in everything you use. Well, because these things are being used also to help develop data centers, some of the suppliers, mostly Asian companies in places like Korea, Japan, China, and Taiwan, have decided to focus on sending this information to sending these devices to data center companies who are spending more money than consumers can.
So let's just explain this a little bit further. So they're buying the RAM, or the RAM is going up. I mean, how does a data center buying RAM, I guess, or the companies that are
It's a
behind these do this? How does that raise the price of this?
great question. It's a supply constraint. The fact that so many of these companies are building so many data centers, the demand on RAM is so high that they're purchasing so much of it that is constraining the supply and making it more difficult for consumer companies or individuals like us who want to purchase this to find it on shops. Some of the numbers say that the RAM has increased by more than 50%. And there are even some companies that are starting to sell computers without RAM installed, to keep the prices low.
I guess to say that, I mean, maybe also another question on this. RAM isn't infinite. It may seem like it's infinite just in thought, but it's not an inf there's not an infinite supply of RAM. And then we're going to talk about how that gets into what you're going to see at CES this week, how that's going to change prices of some of the consumer electronics, in particular gaming computers. So I mean, what is
Yeah.
there is no infinite supply of this, right?
There's no infinite supply of this. It's with anything, you don't realize the constraints until you start to see the constraints. But my thought is that the combination of RAM, again, coming from a lot of companies, countries like Korea, China, Japan, Taiwan, where we possibly have tariffs that are also increasing the price of them as well, that this may mean that companies that are going to be a little bit stingier on the things they release, or maybe we're going to see re release cycles for some of the new consumer electronics, a bit slower than they normally have been.
So with this increase in RAM or increased price in RAM or increased cost of it, how does that trickle down to consumers buying their electronics? And what are some things that we're going to see go up in price potentially because of this?
RAM is in every consumer electronic that you use. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything from a microphone has some form of mini digital computer inside of it. And so you're going to see prices for everything, especially phones, laptops, and computers. But every device that connects to the internet or has some smart functionality, it's going to go up. The price is going to increase.
Anything in particular? Would this be phones? Would this be gaming computers? Anything in particular that's susceptible to this? Or is it literally just anything that we have to use that is, we would consider a smart device, going to be affected
It
by this?
is literally everything, but the things that you're going to see increase the most are those that ha that require higher levels of RAM. And I say this because what RAM does is it allows smoother animations and graphics. It can make games feel faster and snappier. And so consoles are very, very susceptible to high cost of RAM. These things usually have, gigabits of RAM that will allow them to have much smoother graphics, as well as GPUs, which are the things that are used a lot in AI. So the combination of these two things, which are again a constraint because of data centers, are in high demand. But your computers, your smartphones, your laptops, and any smart device that you have around your household, you're going to start to see the impact.
I'm Matt Bush, filling in for Tom Hall on WIPR's Midday, speaking with right now Jason Michael Perry, who is live from Las Vegas, the site of the technology conference CES. A lot of things talking about how data centers are affecting prices of RAM and how that can affect end up affecting the price of the electronics we buy. As you were talking about where RAM, I guess, is even made or the company is really behind it, none of them were in the United States. These were all international companies. So how are the Trump administration's approach to international trade, like high tariffs, how's that playing out? And how's this impacting what we've just been talking about, the increasing price of RAM?
The tariffs have been having a huge impact on just the on technology overall. You have to remember that China is one of the biggest manufacturers of most technology that we consume here in America, and that has been evolving and playing out in very interesting ways. But it's also meant that there definitely been increases in the cost of these devices. Nintendo released their new Switch 2 device last year, and one of the things that was surprising is that they waited to release pricing and certain information and details on that release for weeks, because they were waiting to see how tariffs and the actual cost to manufacture and ship these devices to the United States would shape out. And we're still seeing those signs. all over. One of the things that I'm wondering as a trend here at CES is that historically, 40% of attendees of CES, and I said 140,000 plus people, come from the US, but that means that there's still 60% of that come from outside of the country. And I think this is going to be an interesting bellwether on how things are shaping up for consumer electronics this year in terms of, where are people coming from? And are folks from some of these countries like China and Japan and Korea, how many of them are flying in, setting up booths and contributing here in Vegas?
I guess that's what you're trying to say. Is there any possibility that people might not want to come to the United States now, given immigration policies, given any sort of policies that the Trump administration has been pushing since they've taken office?
That's exactly it. I think it's going to be interesting to see if this is a thing that makes people a little bit wearier, or if we see smaller booths, especially for some of the big companies like Samsung and LG that are companies that are based in Asian countries. I'll get a chance to start to walk the show floor starting today, and I think that will really start to give us a feel of if this is a trend or not.
So, what other some trends are you looking to see at CES this year? What kinds of things you went through a lot, but what sorts of trends? This also isn't just for what's coming this year; it could be what's coming in the next 5 years of what companies are kind of beginning to put together and show people.
The story yesterday, and I think the story that I'm expecting to see this year is the AI-ing of everything. Every device it's getting some form of artificial intelligence or smart features, and that's coming to health devices. It's coming to smart home devices. It's coming into to everything. But the thing that I'm most excited for is the growing robotics trend. And robotics have been at CES for the last several years. But what's different is that we're starting to get to this idea of general purpose robotics, robots that roam around your house or work at office locations and can do all types of different tasks. They can help you with, like I said, your laundry, but they can also, clean up things on the floor or make sure you feed the pets or do things when you're not home. So far early, we've heard that LG has a few robotics devices that they're hoping to release, including a robot that will fold clothes and help put them away. Robots that are helping to empty dishwashers and washing machines and handle all of your clothes and your plates, dishes, all those things. So I'm excited to see if this is really starting to come out as something that's ready for showtime, something that's gonna sit in our houses. There's a company called X1 that makes a robot called Neo that I'm not sure if they're gonna be here at CES, but they're launching a $500 a month robot that can sit in your house and can do a lot of these different things. And so this is starting to become something that's affordable and that's accessible in a way that hasn't been before.
And I guess to get to that point, and I'm sure this is what you're looking at this week, how far away is that from these things from becoming normal tech, not normal technology, but common technology in people's homes? And how much are these are still something for people who have a lot of money or just people who have a lot of access to other things? And it's just going to be something that we see just a few people have.
Yeah, what's amazing about CES is that, of course, this is all the bleeding edge of technology. These are things that are available for early adopters, folks like me who use this technology before, everyone does. But you start to see the trends growing over time. The first robots popped up here 5 plus years ago, and then every year you see that iteration. Last year, we had a robot who made us one of the most amazing cups of coffee that I've ever had. It was a robot barista, and you could tell it exactly what you want. It ordered the coffee, and things like that are getting much better. But what's also amazing is that the cost to build these things has traditionally gone down. Of course, tariffs and things may change that and cost of RAM this year. But as the cost comes down, it becomes much easier to see the adoption happen across the board.
Couple Maryland companies made their way to Vegas too. Who's representing Maryland there today this week?
So I'm looking forward to meeting up with a few people from GBC, the Greater Baltimore Committee, as well as TEDCO that are attending. One of my friends, Rebecca Rosenberg, who's the CEO of a company called Reboka that focuses on using technology for visual accessibility, is doing two talks on accessibility here and how technology is working. On the website, there are 15 plus companies, but that list gets much bigger if you start to look at other regions like Northern Virginia and DC that are also attending. CTA, who puts on this conference, is based in Northern Virginia, so there tends to be a pretty large contingent of people. I'll tell you that my flight from Baltimore to Vegas was packed, and almost every year there are tons of businesses and folks who I know who I see waiting in line to make the flight and make the pilgrimage out here to Las Vegas.
What do smaller companies, like some of the ones you're referencing there, what do they get out of attending CES? It's obviously a very big showcase, and it's easy to get swallowed up if you're a smaller company. But what did they get out of it by being able to go to this?
When I talked with with folks at TEDCO, one of the things that they're excited about is the number of small businesses that are here at CES. In the Venetian, there's a whole exhibit called Eureka Village that's focused on startups, small businesses, universities, and experimental projects that are very interesting. And for a small business, it's an opportunity to take something and put it out there in a way that gives it that puts it on the map for lots of companies to see. The other thing that happens a lot here is that there's a lot of conversations around suppliers. If you're looking to find Chinese manufacturers, if you're building consumer products, maybe hair products or other things, well, this is the perfect place to be to meet those suppliers head on and to have those conversations and negotiations with them so that you can figure out how you're going to actually manufacture and put something out that's available across the world.
I'm Matt Bush filling in for Tom Hall on WYPR's Midday on this Monday afternoon, starting off 2026. Our first guest of the year is Jason Michael Perry. He's live in Las Vegas, the site of the technology conference CES. Jason, you're also the host of a new tech podcast here at WYPR. Thoughts on Tech and Things looks at the latest stories in tech in Maryland and beyond. So what can listeners expect?
So our goal with Thoughts on Tech and Things is to take emerging technologies and make them simpler for anyone and everyone to understand. So far, we've aired six episodes, and my understanding is that this is one of the fastest growing podcasts that WYPR has put
It
out so
is, it
far.
is.
And we've had conversations like, what is AI? Conversations about cybersecurity, Baltimore's public schools and how they're using AI. What is mixed reality, and what does it mean to have a XR or VR device? And over the Christmas break, we released an episode that talked about the space economy, which was amazing.
Yes,
Our
and you did.
goal
Oh,
is
sorry, go ahead.
to take things that sound like they're the future, like quantum, robotics, self-driving cars, and make people realize that some of this stuff is much more accessible than you realize, but also to understand what does it mean and what is the real impact that it has on the lives of the regular person and business folks like you and I.
Yeah, and in your latest episode, you talked to Andrew Parlock of the Baltimore-based startup Space Phoenix System. He thinks the future of Earth's economy is in orbit around our planet. What did he have to say to you?
He definitely thinks that it's around the orbit around our planet. One of the things that I think was the most fascinating talking with Andrew, there are two things that always resonate. One is that space, when we think of the International Space Station, it's closer to Baltimore than New York is, which is insane to think of. But when you think about the distance, you think about space as being so far away, but these things aren't far. The other thing that was super fascinating is that we think of rare earth minerals, things that are incredibly complex to buy or to use to produce things, everything from magnets to other types of minerals, where the rarest earth mineral is carbon-based objects like trees. It's not something that you can manufacture or create anywhere else on space because it requires things that are naturally unique to Earth. And so it's just fascinating to hear those things. The big story that is starting to emerge, of course, with all of these conversations around data centers, the story of 2026, is that space is potentially becoming a place for us to start to launch data centers. It's becoming a new idea for where connectivity can happen, which is insane to think of, but a lot of the stuff that feels so much like a sci-fi story is becoming more realistic and much more normal.
Interesting, you bring up data centers, and it's probably going to be if not the biggest story of 2026. And our next segment's going to be talking about some of the data centers here locally. How on the show do you want people, or how do you on the show want to be able to tackle this topic? And I guess what do you want people to know about this particular thing, which there's so much chatter about data centers right now and the impact they're having on prices and on how electronics work and all these kinds of things. And I think it's still a very large topic for people that maybe they're not quite ready to wrap their head around. How do you want to tackle that particular issue as you talk about it? And what would you like listeners to get out of it?
We did a great episode on data centers with Jenny Abamu, who works for WAMU, came on to the Thoughts on Tech and Things podcast and talked quite a bit about some of the things happening in Prince George's County as well as Montgomery County. The thing that I think is so interesting about data centers is that we don't necessarily realize how complicated it is. That it's not just about water usage. It's also about the scale of energy usage that's happening. And for Baltimore and for Maryland, you have to remember that we're part of a large national grid that includes 14 other states. Some of the things that we should keep in mind is that as we're possibly saying no to data centers, the states that are next to us, especially Virginia, when they say yes, there's still shared electric costs. There's still shared water costs and resource costs that we're paying for, but not necessarily taking in the value that comes from taxes and other things or the construction jobs that potentially come from it. So I'm not saying that means go build a bunch of data centers, but I'm just saying that there are layers to this this complicated onion that is data centers.
And what are some of the other things you mentioned, some of the topics you've already done? What are some of the things you want to tackle with this? And what do you want listeners to know? I mean, how do you want listeners to interact with this? How might they be able to bring some things forward for you all to tackle? I mean, how do you want, you know, what kinds of things do you want to get into it, Aaron? What do you want people to be able to take away from it as the show continues?
I am always excited to hear what's interested for anyone who's subscribing to the show. You can, of course, subscribe anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can subscribe on WIPR, and you can go to my website, jasonmperry.com, and we read every single contact form and note that comes through the website. So if there's something that you think would be exciting, if there's something that you wonder how works or how it works and you want us to get into it, send us a message. We'd love to cover or talk about it.
Particularly with AI, you're AI officer of Perry Labs. What, I guess, as we go through this year also, and people hearing more and more about AI and how important it is to our economy at the current moment, what would you like listeners to know about that? And what do you think you might tackle that topic this year, too, as you've been saying you've done with data centers?
Yes. So we've done a few episodes already on artificial intelligence. We're going to do a lot more. My business, Perry Labs, is focused on helping companies understand this moment of AI, understand the needs for how you could use it to speed up productivity. There's a lot of questions that are starting to emerge with artificial intelligence. Some of them are, you know, are questions like, for schools, what does it mean when students no longer write reports or write documents? How does that change their thought process? Some of these are the big fears of how AI is potentially changing the workforce. And in my belief, when we talk about emerging technologies and bleeding technologies like AI, is that you have to understand it, you have to talk about it to really get to it and to tackle the potential problems with it. But I'm also a tech optimist. And as a tech optimist, I believe that there's so much that value that technology like artificial intelligence is going to bring to us now, our kids, and that is going to just really transform the world. So my hope with Thoughts on Tech and Things is that we'll continue to explore how AI is embracing everything from music to art and creativity to how we think, to how we teach, and that we can really start to look at all the different elements and not just say the words artificial intelligence.
Jason Michael Perry is founder and chief AI officer of Perry Labs. He also hosts WYPR's new podcast, Thoughts on Tech and Things, which you can find wherever podcasts are found. Definitely ask our listeners to check that out. Jason is in Las Vegas for the CES this week. Thanks so much for joining us and being our first guest of 2026. When Midday returns from a break, WIPR's Nathaniel Miller has the story of a preeminent data center that's out in Western Maryland. Then later on, we're going to talk to Scott Massioni about a troubling story you may have missed over the Christmas break. I'm Matt Bush. This is Midday. I'm filling in for Tom Hall. Stay with us on the other side of a quick break.
You're listening to 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.